Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Open our hearts, O Lord, to listen to the words of your Son.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples the parable, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just.' So they went off, and he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They answered, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You too, go into my vineyard.' When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first.' When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat.' He said to one of them in reply, 'My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" The Gospel of the Lord. As Americans, most of us are naturally used to thinking about employer-employee relationships in terms of just and fair wages, which presumably are closely linked to the work actually done. And I think that's why Jesus' parable of the vineyard about the landowner who gives the full day's wage, even to those who are hired at the last hour, it doesn't seem entirely just, much less very rational. To our minds, at least, it's very much out of sync with the way any kind of enterprise should be run. But Jesus is making a different point here. And I think we can begin with the understanding, we always have to be reminded that God's ways are not our ways. Jesus Christ himself is the generous landowner in the parable, or as he says, actually heaven. His foundational lesson to us is that his generosity, God's generosity, extends way beyond our way of calculating. His generosity is way beyond whatever it is that we might imagine. And we get a clue to this in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, when the Lord tells Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Laborers in Jesus' time were usually hired on a day-to-day basis. And those who were without work by the middle of the afternoon, they were basically out of luck. And they would go home to another hungry evening for their families. It would be only an employer with a truly generous heart who would take the trouble to hire anyone for just an hour at the end of the day and then pay them a full day's wage. But that gives us a clue as to God's generosity. In his salvation plan, in salvation history, the same blessings that God first promised to God's chosen people, beginning with Abraham, these same blessings promised to lifelong faithful Christians, these same blessings are even available to those who turn to him at the last hour, at the last minute, at the last moment. One of the things I've found in the relatively short time I've been a priest, which is just a little over 5 years, there have been quite a number of times where I have been called to the bedside of someone who has very little time to live, often in some cases less than an hour. And in many of those cases, I'm with someone who they might have been born a Catholic, they might have been some connection to the Catholic Church, all kinds of things got mixed up in their lives. And by a great grace, they realized that they wanted to prepare for the end of their earthly life. They could get serious about what God has called them to be in their lives. In any event, for me, it's always just a tremendous joy to be at the bedside of someone who, whatever the circumstances, who wants to make a really good confession, to be able to give them the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And it's actually never dawned on me that there's something possibly unfair in this arrangement. So God is calling all of us, and for those of us who will respond early on in our life, slog through our lives, doing as best we can everything God calls us to do, to be, to give him praise and thanksgiving. That actually for us is a great blessing. So to the extent we do our best to live our Christian vocation throughout our lives, we are blessed every day by it. You know, salvation history, and I always kind of date salvation history beginning with the fall of Adam and Eve. Then God had to implement Plan B in order to get us all to heaven. But salvation history is packed with examples of God's incredible generosity to his people. To begin with, God gives us life. He sustains our life at every single moment. And then, as is just a reality of our human nature, when we misuse our freedom, when we sin, God gives us hope for salvation. With the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God gives us the gift of redemption, and through his son Jesus, who died on the cross. Jesus then allows us to make a real contribution to our eternal happiness through lives of prayer, sacrifice, and service. You might say that especially in Jesus Christ, we come to see that God is a real volcano of generous love, who, as Pope Benedict so frequently reminds us, only wants our hearts. You know, one of the common characteristics of the saints is that they are brilliant reflections or brilliant manifestations of God's generosity, who typically are always giving without counting the cost. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta is, for most of us, one of our favorite examples of a saint. One of the stories told about her was that when she was visiting the many convents that she had founded, even as Superior General, Mother Teresa was in the habit of being the first one up in the morning, being up by about 4 o'clock, and washing the convent bathrooms, wherever it was that she was staying, before the other nuns woke up. There's also this story of one of the brothers connected to her order tells about working in one of her homes for the dying in Calcutta. And one day he was kind of grumbling to Mother Teresa about a particular man who was coming back to the home again and again and obviously was taking advantage of their generosity. But Mother Teresa looked at this brother and said to him, "Brother, does this man need your help now or not? It doesn't matter that he was here yesterday or not, or that he's going to come back tomorrow. We don't have yesterday anymore, and we don't have tomorrow yet. All we have is today. to love God and to serve the poor. And that's the kind of supernatural generosity that flows from God's heart to each of us at every instant of every day. And it's a question of how we respond to what is flowing into our hearts from God. You know, the biblical image of vineyard in the Old Testament usually referred to Israel, to God's kingdom, to those people to whom God first offered a covenant relationship, the people of Israel, all the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then with the incarnation of Jesus, God's covenant relationship is offered to everyone, even to the Gentiles, to all the non-Israelites who, until the coming of Jesus, had been effectively strangers to all of God's promises. So in the parable, the vineyard, we can say, explicitly refers to God's household, to Jews and non-Jews, to the family of God, to his church, to all those who are open to the generosity of God, and to all those who in their hearts will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's one other important thing about the parable of the landowner and the workers which hasn't been mentioned, and I think it's that the landowner gave each of the workers real work to do in his vineyard, even though for some of the workers the reward far outweighed the actual amount of work that they did. And that, again, is the same thing as Jesus Christ does with you and me. Jesus allows us to make a real contribution to the building up of his church, to the building up of his kingdom, and to our eternal happiness through loving him and serving others. And that's part of the way I think we can describe the blessing that we are given for those of us who have the opportunity early on in life to start working in the vineyard that maybe someone at the last moment of life may have missed. And this is one of the big differences between Christianity and many other religions. You know, in Eastern religions, for example, there's this odd belief in reincarnation. And human actions in these religions are seen as having no lasting effect. Even if someone acts rightly, they believe that they will dissolve out of existence and be absorbed into nothingness when they die. And for those who act wrongly, for those who believe in reincarnation, they are simply recycled into some other form of existence. And all this recycling continues until they finally get it right. But then they are definitively dissolved into nothingness. These are, of course, all false doctrines, which ultimately would remove any real meaning to our human activity. But in Jesus, our actions, every thought, every action does have meaning. You and I are members of his mystical body. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth. When we serve our brothers and sisters, we're serving Christ and storing up, if you will, eternal treasure in heaven. We're doing the work in the vineyard that the Lord has called us to. Every time you and I remain faithful to Christian principles, when we do our very best to stay faithful to all that Christ's church teaches us, when we vote, when we're under pressure, when humiliation might be involved, or even financial loss, when we might be persecuted or have any kind of suffering because we are doing what we're supposed to do, we are in those actions giving great glory to God. Our task is to continue to labor in God's vineyard. And when you and I help others to come closer to Jesus Christ and to experience his mercy through our words, through our prayers, by our example, by any of our actions, we're actually increasing the everlasting joys of heaven for both them and for us. This is the privilege that God has given us to be working in his vineyard. Jesus has given us the task by making us his fellow workers in his kingdom.